Chapter 80. Fuel Injection Components and Operation. Electronic Fuel Injection Operation. Electronic fuel injection systems use the computer to control the following operation of fuel injectors and other functions based on information sent to the computer from the various sensors. Most electronic fuel injection systems share the following. Number 1. Electric fuel pump, usually located inside the fuel tank. Number 2. Fuel pump relay, usually controlled by the computer. Number 3. Fuel pressure regulator, mechanically operated spring-loaded rubber diaphragm maintains proper fuel pressure. And number 4. Fuel injector nozzle or nozzles. See Figure 80-1. Most electronic fuel injection systems use 12 volts from the ignition and the PCM to control the following aspects of their operation. Number 1. Pulsing the fuel injectors on and off. The longer the injectors are held open, the greater the amount of fuel injected into the intake manifold near the intake valve. And number 2. Operating the fuel pump relay circuit. The computer usually controls the operation of the electric fuel pump located inside, or near, the fuel tank. The computer uses signals from the ignition switch and RPM signals from the ignition module or system to energize the fuel pump relay circuit. Note, this is a safety feature, because if the engine stalls and the tachometer, or engine speed, signal is lost, the computer shuts off, or de-energizes the fuel pump relay and stops the fuel pump. Computer-controlled fuel injection systems are normally reliable systems if the proper service procedures are followed. Fuel injection systems use the gasoline flowing through the injectors to lubricate and cool the injector electrical windings and paddle valves. Note, the fuel does not actually make contact with the electrical windings because the injectors have O-rings at the top and bottom of the winding spool to keep fuel out. There are two types of electronic fuel injection systems. Throttle body injection type, abbreviated TBI. A TBI system delivers fuel from a nozzles into the air above the throttle plate. See Figure 80-2. Port fuel injection type. A port fuel injection design uses a nozzle for each cylinder and the fuel is squirted into the intake manifold about 2 to 3 inches, or 70 to 100 millimeters, from the intake valve. See Figure 80-3. Tech tip. Two must-dos. For long service life of the fuel system, always do the following. Must-do number 1. Avoid operating the vehicle on a near-empty tank of fuel. The water or alcohol becomes more concentrated when the fuel level is low. Dirt that settles near the bottom of the fuel tank can be drawn through the fuel system and cause damage to the pump and injector nozzles. Must-do number 2. Replace the fuel filter at regular service intervals, if applicable. Refer to Figure 80-1. Typical port fuel injection system, indicating the location of various components. Notice that the fuel pressure regulator is located on the fuel return side of the system. The computer does not control fuel pressure, but does control the operation of the electric fuel pump, on most systems, and the pulsing on and off of the injectors. Refer to Figure 80-2. A dual nozzle TBI unit on a Chevrolet 5.0 liters V8 engine. The fuel is squirted above the throttle plate where the fuel mixes with air before entering the intake manifold. Speed density fuel injection systems. Fuel injection computer systems require a method for measuring the amount of air the engine is breathing in order to match the correct fuel delivery. There are two basic methods used. Method number 1. Speed density, and method number 2. Mass airflow. The speed density method does not require an air quantity sensor, but rather calculates the amount of fuel required by the engine. The computer uses information from sensors, such as the MAP and TP, to calculate the needed amount of fuel. MAP sensor. The value of the intake, or inlet, manifold pressure, or vacuum is a direct indication of engine load. TP sensor. The position of the throttle plate and its rate of change are used as part of the equation to calculate the proper amount of fuel to inject. Temperature sensors. Both engine coolant temperature, abbreviated ECT, and intake air temperature, abbreviated IAT, are used to calculate the density of the air and the need of the engine for fuel. A cold engine, low coolant temperature, requires a richer air-fuel mixture than a warm engine. On speed density systems, the computer calculates the amount of air in each cylinder by using manifold pressure and engine RPM. The amount of air in each cylinder is the major factor in determining the amount of fuel needed. Other sensors provide information to modify the fuel requirements. The formula used to determine the injector pulse width in milliseconds is Injector pulse width equals MAP divided by BARO times RPM divided maximum RPM. The formula is modified by values from other sensors, including throttle position, engine coolant temperature, intake air temperature, oxygen sensor voltage, and adaptive memory. A fuel injector delivers atomized fuel into the airstream where it is instantly vaporized. All throttle body fuel injection systems and many multipoint, or port, injection systems use the speed density method of fuel calculation. Refer to Figure 80-3. A typical port fuel injection system squirts fuel into the low pressure, or vacuum, of the intake manifold, about 3 inches, or 70 to 100 millimeters, from the intake valve. Mass airflow fuel injection systems. The formula used by fuel injection systems that use a mass airflow abbreviated, MAF, sensor to calculate the injection base pulse width is, injector pulse width equals airflow divided by RPM. The formula is modified by other sensor values, such as throttle position, engine coolant temperature, barometric pressure, and adaptive memory. Note, many four-cylinder engines do not use a MAF sensor because, due to the time interval between intake events, some reverse airflow can occur in the intake manifold. The MAF sensor reads this flow of air as being additional air entering the engine, giving the PCM incorrect airflow information. Therefore, most four-cylinder engines use the speed density method of fuel control. Throttle body injection. The computer controls injector pulses in one of two ways. Number 1. Synchronized and Number 2. Non-synchronized. If the system uses a synchronized mode, the injector pulses once for each distributor reference pulse. In some vehicles, when dual injectors are used in a synchronized system, the injectors pulse alternately. In a non-synchronized system, the injectors are pulsed once during a given period, which varies according to calibration, completely independent of distributor reference pulses. The injector always opens the same distance, and the fuel pressure is maintained at a controlled value by the pressure regulator. The regulators used on throttle body injection systems are not connected to a vacuum like many port fuel injection systems. The strength of the spring inside the regulator determines at what pressure the valve is unseated, sending the fuel back to the tank and lowering the pressure. See Figure 80-4. The amount of fuel delivered by the injector depends on the amount of time, on time, that the nozzle is open. This is the injector pulse width, the on time in milliseconds that the nozzle is open. The PCM commands a variety of pulse widths to supply the amount of fuel that an engine needs at any specific moment. A long pulse width delivers more fuel. And a short pulse width delivers less fuel. Refer to Figure 80-4. The tension of the spring in the fuel pressure regulator determines the operating pressure on a throttle body fuel injection unit. Frequently asked question. How do the sensors affect the pulse width? The base pulse width of a fuel injection system is primarily determined by the value of the MAF, or MAP sensor and engine speed, or RPM. However, the PCM relies on the input from many other sensors, such as the following, to modify the base pulse width as needed. Number 1. TP sensor. This sensor causes the PCM to command up to 500%, 5 times, the base pulse width if the accelerator pedal is depressed rapidly to the floor. It can also reduce the pulse width by about 70% if the throttle is rapidly closed. Number 2. ECT. The value of this sensor determines the temperature of the engine coolant, helps determine the base pulse width, and can account for up to 60% of the determining factors. Number 3. BARO. The BARO sensor compensates for altitude and adds up to about 10% under high pressure conditions and subtracts as much as 50% from the base pulse width at high altitudes. Number 4. IAT. The intake air temperature is used to modify the base pulse width based on the temperature of the air entering the engine. It is usually capable of adding as much as 20% if very cold air is entering the engine or reducing the pulse width by up to 20% if very hot air is entering the engine. Number 5. O2 sensor. This is one of the main modifiers to the base pulse width and can add or subtract up to about 20% to 25% or more, depending on the oxygen sensor activity. Refer to Figure 80-5. The injectors receive fuel and are supported by the fuel rail. A pulse damper is used to help reduce noise caused by the pressure changes in the fuel rail during injector pulsing operation. Refer to Figure 80-6. Cross-section of a typical port fuel injection nozzle assembly. These injectors are serviced as an assembly only, no part replacement or service is possible, except for replacement of external O-ring seals. Port fuel injection. The advantages of port fuel injection design also are related to characteristics of intake manifolds. Number 1. Fuel distribution is equal to all cylinders because each cylinder has its own injector. See Figure 80-5. Number 2. The fuel is injected almost directly into the combustion chamber, so there is no chance for it to condense on the walls of a cold intake manifold. Number 3. Because the manifold does not have to carry fuel to properly position a TBI unit, it can be shaped and sized to tune the intake airflow to achieve specific engine performance characteristics. An EFI injector is simply a specialized solenoid. See Figure 80-6. It has an armature winding to create a magnetic field, and a needle, or pinel, a disc, or a ball valve. A spring holds the needle, disc, or ball closed against the valve seat and, when energized, the armature winding pulls open the valve when it receives a current pulse from the powertrain control module. When the solenoid is energized, it unseats the valve to inject fuel. Electronic fuel injection systems use a solenoid-operated injector to spray atomized fuel in timed pulses into the manifold or near the intake valve. See Figure 80-7. Injectors may be sequenced and fired in one of several ways, but their pulse width is determined and controlled by the engine computer. Port systems have an injector for each cylinder, but they do not all fire the injectors in the same way. Domestic systems use one of three ways to trigger the injectors. Number 1. Group double fire. Number 2. Simultaneous double fire. And Number 3. Sequential. Refer to Figure 80-7. Port fuel injectors spray atomized fuel into the intake manifold about 3 inches, or 75 millimeters, from the intake valve. Group double fire. This system divides the injectors into two equalized groups. The groups fire alternately, each group fires once each crankshaft revolution, or twice per 4-stroke cycle. The fuel injected remains near the intake valve and enters the engine when the valve opens. This method of pulsing injectors in groups is sometimes called gang-fired. Simultaneous double fire. This design fires all of the injectors at the same time once every engine revolution, 2 pulses per 4-stroke cycle. Many port fuel injection systems on 4-cylinder engines use this pattern of injector firing. It is easier for engineers to program this system, and it can make relatively quick adjustments in the air-fuel ratio, but it still requires the intake charge to wait in the manifold for varying lengths of time. Sequential. Sequential firing of the injectors according to engine firing order is the most accurate and desirable method of regulating port fuel injection. However, it is also the most complex and expensive to design and manufacture. In this system, the injectors are timed and pulsed individually, much like the spark plugs are sequentially operated in firing order of the engine. This system is often called sequential fuel injection or SFI. Each cylinder receives one charge every 2 crankshaft revolutions, just before the intake valve opens. This means that the mixture is never static in the intake manifold and mixture adjustments can be made almost instantaneously between the firing of one injector and the next. A camshaft position sensor, abbreviated CMP, signal or a special distributor reference pulse informs the PCM when the number 1 cylinder is on its compression stroke. If the sensor fails or the reference pulse is interrupted, some injection systems shut down, while others revert to pulsing the injectors simultaneously. The major advantage of using port injection instead of the simpler throttle body injection is that the intake manifolds on port fuel injected engines only contain air, not a mixture of air and fuel. This allows the engine design engineer the opportunity to design long, tuned intake manifold runners that help the engine produce increased torque at low engine speeds. See Figure 80-8. Note: some port fuel injection systems used on engines with 4 or more valves per cylinder may use 2 injectors per cylinder. One injector is used all the time, and the second injector is operated by the computer when high engine speed and high load conditions are detected by the computer. Typically, the second injector injects fuel into the high-speed intake ports of the manifold. This system permits good low-speed power and throttle responses, as well as superior high-speed power. Frequently asked question: how can it be determined if the injection system is sequential? Look at the color of the wires at the injectors. If a sequentially fired injector is used, then one wire color, the pulse wire, is a different color for each injector. The other wire is usually the same color because all injectors receive voltage from some source. If a group or batch fired injection system is being used, Then the wire colors are the same for the injectors that are group fired. For example, a V6 group fired engine has three injectors with a pink and blue wire, power and pulse, and the other three have pink and green wires. Refer to Figure 80-8. A port fuel injected engine that is equipped with long, tuned intake manifold runners. Fuel pressure regulator. Purpose and function. The pressure regulator and fuel pump work together to maintain the required pressure drop at the injector tips. The fuel pressure regulator typically consists of a spring-loaded, diaphragm-operated valve in a metal housing. Fuel pressure regulators on fuel return type fuel injection systems are installed on the return, or downstream, side of the injectors at the end of the fuel rail, or are built into or mounted upon the throttle body housing. Downstream regulation minimizes fuel pressure pulsations caused by pressure drop across the injectors as the nozzles open. It also ensures positive fuel pressure at the injectors at all times and holds residual pressure in the lines when the engine is off. On mechanical return-less systems, the regulator is located back at the tank with a fuel filter. Operation. In order for excess fuel, about 80% to 90% of the fuel delivered, to return to the tank, fuel pressure must overcome spring pressure on the spring-loaded diaphragm to uncover the return line to the tank. This happens when system pressure exceeds operating requirements. With TBI, the regulator is close to the injector tip, so the regulator senses essentially the same air pressure as the injector. The pressure regulator used in a port fuel injection system has an intake manifold vacuum line connection on the regulator vacuum chamber. This allows fuel pressure to be modulated by a combination of spring pressure and manifold vacuum acting on the diaphragm. See figures 80-9 and 80-10. In both TBI and port fuel injection systems, the regulator shuts off the return line when the fuel pump is not running. This maintains pressure at the injectors for easy restarting after hot soak, as well as reducing vapor lock. Tech tip. Don't forget the regulator. Some fuel pressure regulators contain a 10 micron filter. If this filter becomes clogged, a lack of fuel flow results. See Figure 80-11. Refer to Figure 80-9. A typical port fuel injected system showing a vacuum-controlled fuel pressure regulator. Refer to Figure 80-10. A typical fuel pressure regulator that has a spring that exerts 46 pounds of force against the fuel. If 20 inches of vacuum are applied above the spring, the vacuum reduces the force exerted by the spring on the fuel, allowing the fuel to return to the tank at a lower pressure. Vacuum-biased fuel pressure regulator. The primary reason why many port fuel injected systems use a vacuum-controlled fuel pressure regulator is to ensure that there is a constant pressure drop across the injectors. In a throttle body fuel injection system, the injector squirts into the atmospheric pressure regardless of the load on the engine. In a port fuel injected engine, however, the pressure inside the intake manifold changes as the load on the engine increases. The computer can best calculate injector pulse width based on all sensors if the pressure drop across the injector is the same under all operating conditions. A vacuum-controlled fuel pressure regulator allows the equal pressure drop by reducing the force exerted by the regulator spring at high vacuum, low load condition, yet allowing the full force of the regulator spring to be exerted when the vacuum is low, or high engine load condition. Refer to chart on page 939. Refer to figure 80-11. A lack of fuel flow could be due to a restricted fuel pressure regulator. Notice the fine screen filter. If this filter becomes clogged, higher than normal fuel pressure occurs. Electronic returnless fuel system. This system is unique because it does not use a mechanical valve to regulate rail pressure. Fuel pressure at the rail is sensed by a pressure transducer, which sends a low-level signal to a controller. The controller contains logic to calculate a signal to the pump power driver. The power driver contains a high current transistor that controls the pump speed using pulse width modulation, abbreviated PWM. This system is called the electronic returnless fuel system, abbreviated ERFS. See figure 80-12. This transducer can be differentially referenced to manifold pressure for closed loop feedback, correcting and maintaining the output of the pump to a desired rail setting. This system is capable of continuously varying rail pressure as a result of engine vacuum, engine fuel demand, and fuel temperature, as sensed by an external temperature transducer, if necessary. A pressure vent valve, abbreviated PVV, is employed at the tank to relieve overpressure due to thermal expansion of fuel. In addition, a supply side bleed, by means of an inch tank reservoir using a supply side jet pump, is necessary for proper pump operation. Refer to Figure 80-12. The fuel pressure sensor and fuel temperature sensor are often constructed together in one assembly to help give the PCM the needed data to control the fuel pump speed. Refer to Figure 80-13, a mechanical return-less fuel system. The bypass regulator in the fuel tank controls fuel line pressure. Mechanical return-less fuel system. The first production return-less systems employed the mechanical return-less fuel system, abbreviated MRFS, approach. This system has a bypass regulator to control rail pressure that is located in close proximity to the fuel tank. Fuel is sent by the in-tank pump to a chassis-mounted inline filter with excess fuel returning to the tank through a short return line. See Figure 80-13. The inline filter may be mounted directly to the tank, thereby eliminating the shortened return line. Supply pressure is regulated on the downstream side of the inline filter to accommodate changing restrictions throughout the filter's service life. This system is limited to constant rail pressure system, abbreviated CRP, calibrations, whereas with ERFS, the pressure transducer can be referenced to atmospheric pressure for CRP systems or differentially referenced to intake manifold pressure for constant differential injector pressure systems, abbreviated CIP. Note, CRP is referenced to atmospheric pressure, has lower operating pressure, and is desirable for calibrations using speed air density sensing. CIP is referenced to manifold pressure, varies rail pressure, and is desirable in engines that use mass airflow sensing. Refer to Figure 80-14. A demand delivery system uses a fuel pressure regulator attached to the fuel pump assembly inside the fuel tank. Demand delivery system, abbreviated DDS. Given the experience with both ERFS and MRFS, a need was recognized to develop new return-less technologies that could combine the speed control and constant injector pressure attributes of ERFS together with the cost savings, simplicity, and reliability of MRFS. This new technology also needed to address pulsation dampening, hammering, and fuel transient response. Therefore, the demand delivery system technology was developed. A different form of demand pressure regulator has been applied to the fuel rail. It mounts at the head or port entry and regulates the pressure downstream at the injectors by admitting the precise quantity of fuel into the rail as consumed by the engine. Having demand regulation at the rail improves pressure response to flow transients and provides rail pulsation dampening. A fuel pump and a low-cost, high-performance bypass regulator are used within the appropriate fuel center. See Figure 80-14. They supply a pressure somewhat higher than the required rail set pressure to accommodate dynamic line and filter pressure losses. Electronic pump speed control is accomplished using a smart regulator as an integral flow sensor. A pressure control valve, PCV, may also be used and can readily reconfigure an existing design fuel center into a return-less center. Frequently asked question: why are some fuel rails rectangular shaped? A port fuel injection system uses a pipe or tubes to deliver fuel from the fuel line to the intended fuel injectors. This pipe or tube is called the fuel rail. Some vehicle manufacturers construct the fuel rail in a rectangular cross-section. See Figure 80-15. The sides of the fuel rail are able to move in and out slightly, thereby acting as a fuel pulsator, evening out the pressure pulses created by the opening and closing of the injectors to reduce underhood noise. A round cross-sectional fuel rail is not able to deform and, as a result, some manufacturers have had to use a separate dampener. Refer to Figure 80-15. A rectangular-shaped fuel rail is used to help dampen fuel system pulsations and noise caused by the injectors opening and closing. Fuel injectors. EFI systems use solenoid-operated injectors. See Figure 80-16. This electromagnetic device contains an armature and a spring-loaded needle valve or ball valve assembly. When the computer energizes the solenoid, voltage is applied to the solenoid coil until the current reaches a specified level. This permits a quick pull-in of the armature during turn-on. The armature is pulled off of its seat against spring force, allowing fuel to flow through the inlet filter screen to the spray nozzle, where it is sprayed in a pattern that varies with application. See Figure 80-17. The injector opens the same amount each time it is energized, so the amount of fuel injected depends on the length of time the injector remains open. By angling the director hole plates, the injector sprays fuel more directly at the intake valves, which further atomizes and vaporizes the fuel before it enters the combustion chamber. PFI injectors typically are a top-feed design in which fuel enters the top of the injector and passes through its entire length to keep it cool before being injected. Ford introduced two basic designs of deposit-resistant injectors on some engines. The design, manufactured by Bosch, uses a four-hole director metering plate similar to that used by the Rochester Multec injectors. The design manufactured by Nippon Denso uses an internal upstream orifice in the adjusting tube. It also has a redesigned pintle seat containing a wider tip opening that tolerates deposit buildup without affecting injector performance. Refer to Figure 80-16. A multiport fuel injector. Notice that the fuel flows straight through and does not come in contact with the coil windings. Frequently asked question. How can the proper injector size be determined? Most people want to increase the output of fuel to increase engine performance. Injector sizing can sometimes be a challenge, especially if the size of injector is not known. In most cases, manufacturers publish the rating of injectors, in pounds of fuel per hour. The rate is figured with the injector held open at 3 bars, 43.5 psi. An important consideration is that larger flow injectors have a higher minimum flow rating. Here is a formula to calculate injector sizing when changing the mechanical characteristics of an engine. Flow rate equals horsepower times BSFC divided by the number of cylinders times maximum duty cycle, or percent of on time of the injectors. Horsepower is the projected horsepower. Be realistic. BSFC is brake-specific fuel consumption in pounds per horsepower hour. Calculated values are used for this, 0.4 to 0.8 pounds. In most cases, start on the low side for naturally aspirated engines and the high side for engines with forced induction. Number of cylinders is actually the number of injectors being used. Maximum duty cycle is considered at 0.8, or 80%. Above this, the injector may overheat, lose consistency, or not work at all. Refer to Figure 80-17. Each of the 8 injectors shown are producing a correct spray pattern for the applications. While all throttle body injectors spray a conical pattern, most port fuel injections do not. Refer to Figure 80-18. A central port fuel injection system. Central port injection, abbreviated CPI. A cross between port fuel injection and throttle body injection, CPI was introduced in the early 1990s by General Motors. The CPI assembly consists of a single fuel injector, a pressure regulator, and 6 poppet nozzle assemblies with nozzle tubes. See Figure 80-18. The central sequential fuel injection, abbreviated CSFI, system has 6 injectors in place of just 1 used on the CPI unit. When the injector is energized, its armature lifts off of the 6 fuel tube seats and pressurized fuel flows through the nozzle tubes to each poppet nozzle. The increased pressure causes each poppet nozzle ball to also lift from its seat, allowing fuel to flow from the nozzle. This hybrid injection system combines the single injector of a TBI system with the equalized fuel distribution of a PFI system. It eliminates the individual fuel rail while allowing more efficient manifold tuning than is otherwise possible with a TBI system. Newer versions use 6 individual solenoids to fire 1 for each cylinder. See Figure 80-19. Refer to Figure 80-19. A factory replacement unit for a CSFI unit that has individual injectors at the ends that go into the intake manifold instead of poppet valves. Fuel injection modes of operation. All fuel injection systems are designed to supply the correct amount of fuel under a wide range of engine operating conditions. These modes of operation include starting, or cranking, acceleration enrichment, clear flood, deceleration inlinement, idle, or run, and fuel shutoff. Starting mode. When the ignition is turned to the start, or on, position, the engine cranks and the PCM energizes the fuel pump relay. The PCM also pulses the injectors on, basing the pulse width on engine speed and engine coolant temperature. The colder the engine is, the greater the pulse width. Cranking mode air fuel ratio varies from about 1.5 to 1 at 40 degrees Fahrenheit, or 40 degrees Celsius, to 14.7 to 1 at 200 degrees Fahrenheit, or 93 degrees Celsius. Clear flood mode. If the engine becomes flooded with too much fuel, the driver can depress the accelerator pedal to greater than 80% to enter the clear flood mode. When the PCM detects that the engine speed is low, usually below 600 RPM, and the throttle position sensor voltage is high WOT, the injector pulse width is greatly reduced or even shut off entirely, depending on the vehicle. Frequently asked question. What is battery voltage correction? Battery voltage correction is a program built into the PCM that causes the injector pulse width to increase if there is a drop in electrical system voltage. Lower battery voltage causes the fuel injectors to open slower than normal and the fuel pump to run slower. Both of these conditions can cause the engine to run leaner than normal, if the battery voltage is low. B. Because a lean air-fuel mixture can cause the engine to overheat, the PCM compensates for the lower voltage by adding a percentage to the injector pulse width. This richer condition helps prevent serious engine damage. The idle speed is also increased to turn the generator, or alternator, faster if low battery voltage is detected. Open loop mode. Open loop operation occurs during warm-up before the oxygen sensor can supply accurate information to the PCM. The PCM determines injector pulse width based on values from the MAF, MAP, TP, ECT, and IAT sensors. Closed loop. Mode closed loop operation is used to modify the base injector pulse width as determined by feedback from the oxygen sensor to achieve proper fuel control. Acceleration enrichment mode. During acceleration, the throttle position voltage increases, indicating that a richer air-fuel mixture is required. The PCM then supplies a longer injector pulse width and may even supply extra pulses to supply the needed fuel for acceleration. Deceleration enlightenment mode. When the engine decelerates, a leaner air-fuel mixture is required to help reduce emissions and to prevent deceleration backfire. If the deceleration is rapid, the injector may be shut off entirely for a short time and then pulsed on enough to keep the engine running. Fuel shutoff mode. Besides shutting off fuel entirely during periods of rapid deceleration, PCM also shuts off the injector when the ignition is turned off to prevent the engine from continuing to run. Idle control. Purpose and function. Before electronic throttle control, ETC, systems, the idle speed was controlled by using an air bypass control unit. See Figure 80-20. This air bypass or regulator provides needed additional airflow, and thus more fuel. The engine needs more power when cold to maintain its normal idle speed to overcome the increased friction from cold lubricating oil. It does this by opening an intake air passage to let more air into the engine, just as depressing the accelerator pedal opens the throttle valve, allowing more air into the engine. The system is calibrated to maintain engine idle speed at a specified value, regardless of engine temperature. Most PFI systems use an idle air control motor to regulate idle bypass air. The IAC is computer controlled, and is either a solenoid-operated valve or a stepper motor that regulates the airflow around the throttle. The idle air control valve is also called an electronic air control, abbreviated EAC, valve. When the engine stops, most IAC units retract outward to get ready for the next engine start. When the engine starts, the engine speed is high to provide for proper operation when the engine is cold. Then, as the engine gets warmer, the computer reduces engine idle speed gradually by reducing the number of counts or steps commanded by the IAC. When the engine is warm and restarted, the idle speed should momentarily increase, then decrease to normal idle speed. This increase and then decrease in engine speed is often called an engine flare. If the engine speed does not flare, then the IAC may not be working, it may be stuck in one position. Refer to Figure 80-20. The small arrows indicate the air bypassing the throttle plate in the closed throttle position. This air is called minimum air. The air flowing through the IAC is the airflow that determines the idle speed. Stepper motor operation. A digital output is used to control stepper motors. Stepper motors are direct current motors that move in fixed steps or increments from de-energized, or no voltage, to fully energized, or full voltage. A stepper motor often has as many as 120 steps of motion. A common use for stepper motors is as an idle air control valve, which controls engine idle speeds and prevents stalls due to changes in engine load. When used as an IAC, the stepper motor is usually a reversible DC motor that moves in increments, or steps. The motor moves a shaft back and forth to operate a conical valve. When the conical valve is moved back, more air bypasses the throttle plates and enters the engine, increasing idle speed. As the conical valve moves inward, the idle speed decreases. When using a stepper motor that is controlled by the PCM, it is very easy for the PCM to keep track of the position of the stepper motor. By counting the number of steps that have been sent to the stepper motor, the PCM can determine the relative position of the stepper motor. While the PCM does not actually receive a feedback signal from the stepper motor, it does know how many steps forward or backward the motor should have moved. A typical stepper motor uses a permanent magnet and two electromagnets. Each of the two electromagnetic windings is controlled by the computer. The computer pulses the windings and changes the polarity of the windings to cause the armature of the stepper motor to rotate 90 degrees at a time. Each 90-degree pulse is recorded by the computer as a counter step, therefore, the name given to this type of motor. See Figure 80-21. Idle airflow in a TBI system travels through a passage around the throttle and is controlled by a stepper motor. In some applications, an externally mounted permanent magnet motor, called the idle speed control motor abbreviated, ISC, mechanically advances the throttle linkage to advance the throttle opening. Refer to Figure 80-21. Most stepper motors use four wires, which are pulsed by the computer to rotate the armature in steps. Frequently asked question. Why does the idle air control valve use milliamperes? Some Chrysler vehicles, such as the Dodge minivan, use linear solenoid idle air control valves abbreviated, LSIAC. The PCM uses regulated current flow through the solenoid to control idle speed and the scan tool displays in milliamperes. Closed position equals 180 to 200 milliamperes. Idle equals 300 to 450 milliamperes. Light cruise equals 500 to 700 milliamperes. And fully open equals 900 to 950 milliamperes. Review questions. Question 1. What are the two basic methods used for measuring the amount of air the engine is breathing in order to match the correct fuel delivery? Question 2. What is the purpose of the vacuum-controlled, or, biased, fuel pressure regulator? Question 3. How many sensors are used to determine the base pulse width on a speed density system? Question 4. How many sensors are used to determine the base pulse width on a mass airflow system? Question 5. What are the three types of return-less fuel injection systems? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Technician A says that the fuel pump relay is usually controlled by the PCM. Technician B says that a TBI injector squirts fuel above the throttle plate. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 2. What determines the amount of fuel injected when an injector opens? A. Length of time the injector is open. B. The distance the pintle travels, or, more travel, more fuel. C. The spacing between the pintle and the pintle spring. D. The variable diameter of the injector solenoid coil. Question 3. Which fuel injection system uses the MAP sensor as the primary sensor to determine the base pulse width? A. Speed density. B. Mass airflow. C. Demand delivery. D. Mechanical return less. Question 4. Why is a vacuum line attached to a fuel pressure regulator on many port fuel injected engines? A. To draw fuel back into the intake manifold through the vacuum hose. B. To create an equal pressure drop across the injectors. C. To raise the fuel pressure at idle. D. To lower the fuel pressure under heavy engine load conditions. To help improve fuel economy. Question 5. Which sensor has the greatest influence on injector pulse width besides the MAP sensor? A. IAT. B. BARO. C. ECT. D. TP. Question 6. Technician A says that the port fuel injection injectors operate using 5 volts from the computer. Technician B says that sequential fuel injectors all use a different wire color on the injectors. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. Which type of port fuel injection system uses a fuel temperature and/or fuel pressure sensor? A. All port fuel injected engines. B. TBI units only. C. Electronic return-less systems. D. Demand delivery systems. Question 8. Dampeners are used on some fuel rails to A. Increase the fuel pressure in the rail. B. Reduce, or decrease, the fuel pressure in the rail. C. Reduce noise. D. Trap dirt and keep it away from the injectors. Question 9. Which one of these sensors is not used to determine injector pulse width during open loop mode? A. ECT sensor. B. TP sensor. C. MAF sensor. D. Oxygen sensor. Question 10. What type of device is used in a typical idle air control? A. DC motor. B. Stepper motor. C. Pulsator type actuator. D. Solenoid. End of chapter 80.